Thanks for listening to Stokely and Zach On Demand. Before Zach tells us who is moonwalking in the Hall of Fame today, have you subscribed to our podcast? Subscribe everywhere you get your podcast or at 1043thefan.com.
On the league 50-50. Maybe I'll flip a coin.
It's Training Camp 50-50. Teddy versus Drew. Powered by Twin Peaks. Here's Stokely and Zach.
Time.
You don't have to think about it. It is right here. It is right now.
Falling in love so strange. Said you now, know.
How you doing today, Brandon Stokely?
Doing great. Got my gear on.
I see ya.
Yeah. So it's always a good day.
Game day.
Yeah, it was game day. It was game day. Game day is a little bit different now than what they used to be. But, you know, a lot more relaxing now. You know, not as much stress involved.
Did you lay out that uniform for yourself last night?
No, I didn't. It's just kind of a game time decision, like how am I feeling?
Yeah.
Type of thing. And so that's just kind of how I roll with it. And so it's game day. So I'm feeling great, man. It's a beautiful day outside. You know, I watched Hard Knocks last night.
Nice.
That was fun and interesting. Saw some.
We're going to get into that.
Yeah, saw some. I enjoyed it. I really did enjoy it.
It was
you and James
good, right?
Are right. Yeah. Yeah, I really did enjoy it. I thought it was really good. How about you? How's your morning?
Morning good. You know, our house is getting painted, Stokes. And this is the first time that I've ever experienced this. Like the whole house, like the downstairs, the living room, the hallways, bedrooms. And it's just like you basically don't live there for 3 days. I didn't see this coming. Maybe would have stayed with, you know.
You do that before
maybe
you move in.
Maybe we could have come and stayed at your house. Maybe we'll come and stay with you tonight. But, so like first thing in the morning, these dudes say, hey.
It'll
like,
be all right. It's going to be fine. I know it's got like sometimes, you know, it's got that smell and, you know, might not be good for you for a little bit, but it'll pass. Don't worry about it. You might get a little bit lightheaded from the fumes and stuff, but y'all will be okay.
So we got the kind of paint. It's something that's no COV or something where it's not, you don't get those toxins, but still,
okay.
All the windows are open, fans are going, you know, it was nice and cool last night, so no biggie. So I'm up this morning, right in the shower, dressed, right out the door, working at Starbucks. Shout out my man Jake, who saw me at Starbucks. He said, hey, me and you did a shot at Blake Street Tower a couple years ago.
Wow, how about that?
And I said, you don't want to know what that sounds like.
Yeah.
My man.
Yeah, I've been wondering. You've been getting here early. You've been getting here, like, you know, 10 minutes before the show starts instead of, like, you know, 30 seconds before the show. I've been wondering what's going on there. And
for those who don't know, like, typically when Stoke and I start talking at the top of the show, that's, like, literally our first interaction more times than not, like, of the day. Because I come in here, I learn from the best. I come in here 30 seconds before the show.
Yeah. I like to be here a little bit before, get all my stuff situated, especially now that I got my own separate office, and get all my stuff situated and get ready to go. But you, on the other hand, you just kind of roll right in. And today you called me. You know, I was walking in here at 11:30 and you called me, and it was a really nice gesture by you to ask if I wanted a coffee. So
yeah,
I appreciate that. I mean, you know, you could have done that like at 11. Say, hey, I'm going to be going at 11:30. You know, do you want me to get your coffee? And I mean,
you know what? I didn't think of it till I thought of it. But
nice gesture.
But you were my thoughts.
Yeah, thank you. Thoughts, that's all that counts, right? Isn't that what they say?
That's it. So, a lot going on here.
Yeah, I mean, first day yesterday against the Vikings, right?
Yes. We're going to hear from George Payton, who's going to have a rare appearance in front of a microphone. I don't believe John Elway did this during preseason. It was like he talked at the beginning at the media barbecue, and then you might not hear from him till after the season.
Maybe,
you
know, one in between, right?
Yeah, maybe.
Something like that.
I just don't remember him making himself available. George Payton is talking to the media, and we will relay some of the most signature comments
from yesterday or today.
Today, right now.
Right now.
Yeah.
Love it. That's awesome. That's good stuff there.
Yep, we'll be able to react to that. A lot of audio to get to from both quarterbacks, from Vic Fangio as well. So just a lot going on. A lot going on here.
Quarterbacks. I mean, you know, I'm trying to kind of figure out like who played well, who didn't play well. That's what stinks about not being able to watch it. You know,
right.
I'm looking at Nate and his videos and listening to him.
Nate's doing a great job, by the way.
Yeah, doing a great job. And then, you know, look at Troy Rank and Kliss and all those guys and trying to figure out, like, hey, what's going on there with the quarterback? How are these guys performing? Did you do the same? I know because I'm a grinder. I like to do the extra. But did you? You probably didn't do that.
Can you repeat that? I'm sorry. I had our producer in my ear. I mean, when you sit over there, it's a lot easier. You know, we're moving the chains here behind the scenes.
Okay, all right, I'll give it to you again because you know you got a lot going on right now. What I like to do, Zach, is I went back and I looked at like Kliss's Twitter, Troy Rank's Twitter, and just kind of see what the consensus would be on which quarterback performed better. Did you do the same?
Yes, I did.
Okay,
and after looking at all these timelines. On Twitter specifically, from these guys who are live tweeting the joint practice, it felt like Teddy Bridgewater had a better day than Drew Lock.
That's what my sense was also, and that's not our opinion. You know, we're not out there, but just when you take it all in and you know throw it in that blender, it looked like to me that Teddy also had the better day. I don't know by a lot, by a little, but I think it was pretty clear cut that when you go through what everybody was saying, that Teddy performed better.
Yeah, that's what it sounded like. We're going to check in with Nate Jackson here in just a few minutes. Practice there in Minnesota taking place in about 53 minutes from now. We'll talk to Nate in, 20 minutes. So we'll gauge what his opinion of it was.
I didn't see him give a winner or loser. I watched the video, so that'd be my advice to Nate. You got to declare a winner or loser here. You know, I mean, that's the way to end it. Hey, Teddy Bridgewater definitely won the day, or Teddy Bridgewater edged him out, you know, because I watched the whole darn video, and he didn't give me a winner or loser.
So you got to give him some pushback when he joins us.
I will. I definitely will. So remind me if I forget.
All right. A lot of stuff.
Do you agree with that or not?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, sure. Sure, you're out there. You're our eyes. You know, this is the most important storyline of the Broncos right now.
Plant your flag. Let me know. Who do you think won the day?
All right. I like it. We have so much to get to. I want to circle back, though, and I do want to address...
Wait, can I ask you about yesterday?
Yeah.
About yesterday after our show?
Yeah.
I heard that, you know, some stuff was going down. Possibly. Like, what happened? Well, first of all, I'm leaving the show, and you and D-Mac are in there, like, you know, not in a heated argument, but y'all kind of going back and forth, and usually that's not the case. Usually it's kind of fun. Y'all half laughing and joking and all that stuff, and I'm like, oh, that's kind of weird, but I just kind of, like, whatever, right? And we had that little game that we were playing. You and him were really playing with Tyler, maybe. Hide the mug, you find the mug. It was fun.
It was fun.
A lot of fun. Going back and forth. Great content. Fun game that we were playing. He was hiding it all over the place. You found it, and you've been hiding it.
Yep.
And it was a fun game, right? I mean, and then all of a sudden, it seemed like it turned bad. What happened?
Well,
liar.
That's how the exchange started. Off the air, D-Mac came in here, and I said, hey, the mug is somewhere in this room.
Just like you did the day before.
Yeah, just like I did. I said, it's in one of these three rooms. This is what he had been doing. And literally, his first response to me was, I'm not going to look for it because I think you're an effing liar.
Liar!
And I said, what did you just say to me? So I gave it right back to him, and I said, what would make you come to that conclusion? I'm doing the same thing that we were just doing a week ago. And he just, really went on.
Now, he thought you didn't hide it. That's why he's calling you a liar.
I did not hide it. And his reasoning was that I did not prove to him where I was hiding it, because what he was coming to do was, with like 15 minutes left in our show, he would come and reveal.
He would walk
where
in.
He would walk in while we were on the air and reveal where he had the mug hiding that I couldn't find. There was days where I didn't find the mug. He would come in and grab it and say, hey, this is where it was the whole time.
Right
and
behind.
And it was kind of fun, right?
It was great.
You know, it was like, oh, dang. But he wanted me to do that for him and show it where it was hiding. The problem is D-Mac's show is after mine. I am not going to drive back to the studio and show you where I had the mug hidden. And he said, well, you should have taken a picture of it. I said, D, we just started this. This was day two of you looking for it. I didn't know you wanted me to do that. And he went on throughout his show to call me a liar, I don't know, double-digit times to the point where I was so pissed off at this dude because he was pissed off. Now, he tried to act like it was some long con, but the reality is that dude's cage was so shaken. It led me to believe that something else was wrong in his life.
Right.
And he was just kind of, you know, misplacing, you know, whatever frustration happened to him earlier in the day.
Yes.
No, it's her.
Flat tire on his bike. You
right.
Know,
fell off
enough.
His bike again. Right.
Yeah,
something
one
like
of those
that.
Things.
So, like, but it was one of these things where he was so upset at this actual mug thing, which is supposed to be a fun game.
Fun game.
He was just over the top upset. I ended up calling into the show, and he picks up the phone and says, hey, liar, you know, for the 10th time. So I'm not trying to go tough guy here. I literally thought about driving in my car and coming to the studio and addressing him face to face. I mean, he was that upset. He made me that upset. And this is someone who, look, I get along great with, but about once a year, I want to pound his ass.
Yeah. You want to what?
So, I mean, that's the long and short of it.
What do you want to do to him?
Give him a swirly.
Oh. Okay.
Hold him upside down. Take him to the bathroom and flush. But he was just so rude and the venom in his voice. It wasn't just what he was saying. It was how he was saying it. And it was so real. I'm like, where is the track record here? Like, so then, but then when you really unpack the situation, at the end of the day, D-Mac was just acting like a baby and he ruined the game.
Right. It just takes one baby to ruin a fun game or one spoiled brat or one bad apple to ruin a fun game. And that was D-Mac, because we were all having fun with it. He was having fun with it, and it was a great game. And then all of a sudden, why do you get so bent out of shape over that?
I mean, it was unbelievable.
Over that,
this
of all
was
things,
so upset with me to, you know, just again, it was really unbelievable.
So now he ruined the game. He took his ball and went home, and now the game is ruined now.
Totally.
And the game is over. No more fun there between the shows. And, you know, good job, Darren, for ruining the stinking game because you had to be a baby about it.
It's all good. Stuff happens. But I'll tell you this. For how he treated me on air yesterday, he owes me an apology today.
Oh, there you go.
So
you owe him an apology, Darren.
He'll
give you the apology. I mean, Darren's always stood up when he's been wrong, and he's admitted.
I hope so, because what was happening here did not, it was, put it side by side with how he was acting, it misrepresented how playful this thing was. There was no need to get that upset about it. So
it was a mug that y'all both were going back and forth having a great time.
It turns out I ended up calling and saying, you want to know where the mug is? You think that it's not there? It's in the ceiling. It's in the back right panel.
I saw you put it up there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And we killed the damn stream. We talked about it on the show.
Right.
Richie saw it. He wanted Richie to tell him where it was, even though when D-Mac was hiding it, Richie never once helped me. He never even insinuated that he knew where it was. So it's now
the game's over and ruined. That's unfortunate.
It's unfortunate.
It is. It just takes one person to act that way to ruin a good thing, right?
It's all good.
Don't be that person, right? That's my advice of the day. Don't be that person.
It's all good. It's all good. But he does owe me an apology.
So it's not all good. It's not all good.
Well, okay, so it's not all good until he gives me an apology.
Might you still pound his ass?
If he comes in here incorrectly. I mean, seriously, like.
Look, D-Mac's always owned everything. I remember one time that he threw me under the bus in the media thing, right? And he apologized.
He definitely did.
Took ownership. That's what he does. He screws up, but he takes ownership after. So I'm expecting he'll do the right
thing. What he should do is go back and listen to how he acted.
Yeah.
If he wants a tiebreaker, just go back and listen to the podcast of yesterday's. hour one, two, or three.
And you did nothing wrong. Like, you hid the mug where you said you were hiding
literally
the mug.
Literally the essence of the game, yes.
It wasn't like, if you would have taken it home, then I would have been like, yeah, Zach, you broke the rules,
right,
man. You can't break the rules.
Right.
You can't do that.
It's all good. It's all good.
But that's a great story.
It's not a great story.
You know, for me it is.
Well,
I wasn't upset yesterday. I love it. That's a great story. Anytime any other buddy around here has beef besides me, it's a great story.
Right.
I'm here for it.
You get next to the fire enough for it to warm
yes.
you, but you're not actually
right.
in the fire.
Right, and now I can, you know, poke and prod both of you guys and you know, we'll see how this thing plays out this afternoon. I can't wait.
We'll see. We'll see.
I want to pound his ass.
Yes.
And poor Richie, yes. man. He's caught in between the two right. shows. He's producing them both now. It's just like, oh, my gosh. It's all good.
Well, when everybody's telling you wrong, when you are wrong, you're probably wrong. And I think everybody's, I mean, his co-host yesterday, right? You said that Tyler was telling him he's wrong.
Yes, Tyler was telling the truth.
Right.
That's all.
Okay. That was good, man.
Fun
that was a fun way to start the show.
Sports
I
radio,
love
104.3 The Fan.
I walked in the hallway. I heard you talking to Richie about it, and like you were like, you know, animated about it. I'm like, what is going on? I didn't know. I didn't hear that yesterday. So
yeah, that's, tried to attack my character.
I love it
for hiding a mug.
Yeah.
All right. All good. We'll bury the hatchet this afternoon, hopefully, or he'll get buried. No, something's getting buried. Did you see the hatchet? Or Darren McKee.
Or pounded.
All right. Hey, I want to circle back to something. I don't want to spend too much time on it because we got other stuff that's front and center here. But you and I just in passing touched on a topic yesterday that was in Peter King's Football Morning in America column. And he was talking about George Payton and not the defense of why he didn't pick a quarterback, but just sort of outlining why he didn't pick a quarterback. And there was a quote in there. Where Peter King listed, hey, you know, some of the reasons why he didn't pick a quarterback and ended up with Patrick Surtain. But he ultimately said, Peter King said, finally, he, as in George Payton, felt a duty to the franchise to give Locke a legitimate shot to be the long-term guy after predecessor John Elway picked him 42nd overall 2 years ago. And I don't want to blow this up to something that it's not, but yesterday I said to you there must have been a natural human element at play here with John Elway hiring George Payton. He knows that Drew Locke is John's guy. John was not totally, you know, departed from the organization, which it feels like he is now. He was there in the war room on draft night. He was with the Broncos leading up to the draft. And I just think, especially in year one, to act like that wasn't a natural factor at play, just from a human standpoint. And I'm not saying it's right or wrong. I think it's just a little bit naive.
No, I agree. I think it's probably, you know, in the back of his mind there. When you look at, you know, having John around and that being John's, you know, last quarterback taken, he started last year. Didn't decide how he was going to navigate the quarterback market this offseason? No, I don't think so. But could it have played a small part? Possibly. Just because, you know, that's John Elway. He's the one that, you know, him and a few other guys hired you. So, you know, do you want to get rid of his quarterback right away?
Especially when there's something to draw from, not as an excuse, but a reason. Like, did John think that Drew Locke last year was put in a position to have the most success with no offseason, no OTAs, no preseason games? Like, I think that there's enough there where maybe John believed that, and if John believes that, you know, that's maybe hard to not factor in for
the
guy he just hired.
Yeah. And he's still a young quarterback,
yeah.
too. So, I mean, there's things that you can look at if you're George Payton and kind of, you know, like, oh, okay. Yeah. All right. Yeah. Well, one more year. We'll just try it one more year and see. And there's a lot of little things that could add up. the whole off-season stuff, the new coordinator, COVID stuff, and, you know, all of those things. And he's still a young quarterback. And, look, he did start off 4-1 that first year. And, look, you can look at a lot of different things and go that road. I mean, look at Broncos country, you know. I mean, it could be split 50-50. Give Drew Lock another opportunity? No. So there's a lot of things that you can point to say, yeah, let's continue with it. With that, and plus, you know, that was John Elway's pick, you know, and I'm kind of, hey, we'll try it one more time, John, right? I don't know how much that played a part. I don't think a lot. I don't think you operate like that. I really don't think that, honestly, I don't think that John cares.
You don't think he cares? Come on, man.
I don't think that John, you know, is losing sleep. Now, I'm not saying he doesn't care about, you know, if Drew Lock has success or the Broncos have success. I don't think he cares that, oh, okay, you know, that Drew Lock got cut. Like, that's not going to all of a sudden sting him. Like, oh, my gosh, I'm such a failure. This thing stinks, you know. Now, does he care if, like, would he like that quarterback to do well? Of course. I mean, who wouldn't?
Right.
I mean, he cares about that.
Of course.
But if the quarterback gets cut, if George Payton thinks that's the right thing to do, I don't think John's ego is that bad. Is that big to say, oh, my gosh, you know, why would you do that? He should get another opportunity. John knows football. He watched what Drew did last year. He knows what happens in the NFL when you don't play well. Usually, you don't get another opportunity. So, I don't think that that John would have been upset if George Payton went down another road. I really don't, and I don't know, you know, that for a fact. But that's just me speculating. And just knowing John for a little bit here, mm-hmm. and being with John in 2012.
Yep.
So that's just me totally speculating. I just don't sense that John would, give any kind of pushback over Drew Lock being shown the door or another quarterback being brought in.
So I really don't. I disagree with you a little bit, but not some great departure of what you're saying. I'm saying on draft night or leading up to the draft, maybe it didn't have to be said from John. Maybe it's just a natural thing that's in play, that's in motion in George's mind, that the guy that just hired you, the guy that's sitting next to you making the picks, just drafted a young quarterback 42nd overall, and he might not believe that he was put in a great position to succeed in his first year as a full-time starter. So, you know.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that could come and play in George Payton's mind. Certainly. I mean, we're all human. But I just think that, man, if you've been around the NFL long enough, like, this thing is a cutthroat business, you know? And John Elway knows that. George Payton knows that. It's not like time to just say, hey, I'm going to do you a solid here. This quarterback that I think stinks, I'm going to just give him another year for you because you hired me. No, I think John really hired George Payton to run the show, and John is like, I'm out of this thing, man. Have fun. I did my thing, and it was a great ride, and now here you go, George. You do your thing. Whatever you see fit. Like, it's not going to hurt John's feelings if George Payton would have brought in Matthew Stafford and traded Drew Lock. I mean, I don't think that would have hurt John Elway's feelings at all. I think he'd have been like, oh, okay, whatever. Do your thing, George. I did mine. Guess what? I went to 2 Super Bowls and won one, right? Okay,
right?
So there you go. I mean, I really, that would be how I think John Elway views this whole thing.
You know what? I don't think we'll ever know. But I just found it really interesting that Peter King, after being embedded in the organization, shoehorned that statement into his place.
No, I know. I don't like that. That's not how you can operate. You know, if you're running that show, you can't operate like that. You can't just, like, pay homage.
There you go.
I was like,
were you caught between homage and homage?
Yeah. Is it homage?
Homage.
Yeah. You can't pay homage to John Elway when you're running the show.
Right.
Right.
But when John's sitting right next to you, that shadow is pretty large.
Oh, it is. So the thought coming in George Payton's mind. See, I don't think John Elway cares, but the thought that coming into George Payton's mind might be like, okay, I want to show this guy respect, right?
And that's in year one. Nature. He's got a 6-year deal. It's like, I'm not saying it was the factor,
right,
but it could have been a small slice of the pie.
I got you.
You got a text you want to read over there? I saw you.
No, there was a lot of funny ones, you know, a lot of funny ones. I mean, especially when you're talking about, what you got that clip, Richie, about Zach, what he said?
You can trash
just,
that
no,
one.
No, just one more. Give it to me. Talking about
D-Mac. Once a year, I want to pound his ass.
There we go. Love it. Love it. You want to what? Pound his what?
D-Mac, I want to pound his ass. D-Mac and I have become great friends over the years. I just hope he does the right thing and apologize to me.
You want to what? You want to what? You want to what? You want that's not going anywhere. That's not going anywhere.
Zach. I want to pound his ass.
Oh, man.
Oh, Lord. All right. I'm not trying to go tough guy here.
I'm not trying to go tough guy here, but.
Oh, my goodness.
It's a great start to the show.
Oh, Lord. I could throw a challenge flag on that statement. All right. Practice is about to get underway between the Broncos and the Vikings. We look back on yesterday's practice and preview what's ahead with Nate Jackson live from Minnesota coming up next. I'm not trying to go tough guy here, but about once a year, I want to pound his ass.
It's Training Camp 50-50, Teddy versus Drew, powered by Twin Peaks. Here's Stokely and Zach.
Great reaction coming in. I love it. Appreciate y'all. 303-713-1043, VamosLaw.com text. Keep up. If you didn't hear the first segment, first 25 minutes, you got to go back. Zach just going absolutely bonzo, nuts. It was great. Love it. One of our finer segments that we've had.
The reaction is pretty funny. I just, you know, I wish the whole thing was avoided, but.
But it made for fun radio.
I hope so.
So I'm here for that.
At least someone got a kick out of it.
Yeah.
Do we have Nate? Yes.
Well, we got Nate.
Our guy, Nate Jackson, live from Minnesota. Practice is going to be getting underway in just about 27, 28 minutes from now. We'll look ahead in just a second. But, Nate, let's just.
Wait, Nate. Let me just, because I got to get to it before I forget. Nate, I watch your video. You're doing a great job. But you got to declare a winner or loser, because I'm trying to get my info through you. Today, can you give me a winner or loser at the quarterback position? And if you had to for yesterday, who would you give the edge to? Who won the day yesterday?
Yeah, so James hit me up right afterwards, and he asked me, because he does the tally every day. I gave it to Teddy. I gave it to Teddy yesterday because the mistakes that were made, guys, like, Drew put the ball on the ground on a snap. You know, he threw a couple picks. There were some snap communication issues, some false starts. And that seemed to fall more on Drew than it did on Teddy. Teddy seemed to have a better grasp at the line of scrimmage, was able to work the snap count and get the defense to jump a couple times. Drew didn't do any of that. Now, as far as the throwing of the football, they seem pretty equal to me. Both of them had some good throws. Both of them had some bad throws. But I think Drew's mistakes gave the day to Teddy.
But you said two picks?
Yeah. So one of them was right when they started off 7-on-7, they were doing this like half field 7-on-7 thing, which I've never actually even seen before. But he threw a pick in that first period, which was just an ugly, ugly throw. The second pick was at the end of the practice in a two-minute drill, and it was a deflection. It was a bad ball,
okay.
But it got tipped up in the air, tipped a couple times, and picked off. So, there were two interceptions.
Okay, Nate, and Nate's live from Minnesota, former Bronco Nate Jackson, of course. What else stuck out yesterday? I heard a lot about Jerry Jeudy. Saw videos on Jerry Jeudy. Was he as good as advertised on social media yesterday?
Yeah, Jerry looks good, man. He's very calm. He's very confident, you know, the way he runs routes. And it's just, he just quietly goes about his business and makes plays. Every time he really gets his number call, he makes plays. They did one-on-ones yesterday, which I like to see. Because the Broncos don't do a lot of that at training camp, which I find curious. Every single team I ever been on, one-on-ones is just a part of your practice.
Like, you know, every day.
Yeah, exactly. And Vic doesn't believe in that for whatever reason. I think it's because he doesn't like running man coverage on defense, so he doesn't think it's that important to put his guys through it. But still, you know how important it is for a receiver to go through that every day, to sharpen your tool, to have balls thrown to you,
yes.
to show you can go up and get that ball. And so
it's competing. You got to compete.
Exactly. And you know what? You're not going to choose what defense you get to see in a game, and you're going to see some man coverage. So if you never get to see it in practice, that's a disservice to these receivers because they're going to see it in the game. So, yeah, I think they showed out in one-on-ones. KJ Hamler looked really good as well. Cortland Sutton, actually, his limp looks like it's going away. I'm really excited about Cortland's development. Like a week and a half ago, he looked real peg leg. You know, he was gimping around out there. But I think that was a combination of just the soreness of training camp, you know, maybe a slightly atrophied quad in his left leg, and then just stiffness. But he seems to be working through that. Tim Patrick didn't do one-on-ones yesterday for whatever reason. He was back there with his helmet off, kind of like, you know, working on stretching out his legs and stuff. But then during the team periods, he put his helmet on and went back out there. But what my big observations of the day, guys, these two head coaches are defensive guru type of coaches, and the practice kind of reflected that. These defenses played well, kept everything in front of them. It was set up to favor the defense. In my mind, you saw very few big plays down the field. Our defense really kept their offense in check. You could tell because, you know, I was watching our offense mostly. They're on two different fields. But you didn't really hear the Minnesota crowd cheering much at all. There was nothing for them to get excited about on offense. The difference between the two offenses, though, guys, that even though the defenses were game, Kirk Cousins is the incumbent starter. He has them working very efficiently. His motion, his shift, his snap count, it's all on point. It's all very crisp. Whereas on our side of the ball, it was a little off.
Yeah. Nate Jackson joining us here from Minnesota. Nate, how is the energy? You know, that's something that I've been critical of pretty much the whole camp, just the lack of energy, the lack of excitement from the Denver Broncos. Was there more energy? Was it a little bit of the same? What was that energy level and excitement level from the Broncos yesterday?
Yeah, that was something I was interested in seeing as well, Stoke, because I remember, you know, probably three or four of the years I was in Denver, we had practices against other teams. It was the Cowboys 2 years. It was the Texans for a couple years. And it was some bad blood. It was, you know, energy was high. Like, we were ready to get after each other. And the practices were feisty. There was some scuffles and just guys flying around and popping one another. But none of that happened yesterday. I mean, they were both kind of on the same energy level, and they were just all kind of bro-ing around. Like, you know, you heard Vic Fangio say, I think Teddy said in his presser, this week we don't have 90 teammates. We have 180 teammates, guys. We're all on the same team here, you know. We're trying to protect each other. I think Teddy even said, I'm trying to make the Vikings better as well. So that was a little bit of a head-scratcher, but the collaboration between these coaches and the mutual reverence, I mean, you got George Payton, who spent 25 years or whatever he did here. I mean, these are all his guys, so he feels probably connected to all these guys in a way that makes it a big romance. So there wasn't a lot of, like, feistiness, energy, I think. But the Broncos weren't sluggish compared to the Vikings, which I think is important to say. They came out and matched that energy. I just want to see them step it up, both teams, today.
Nate, before we let you go, is there anything else at all, I just want to give you the floor here, that stuck out or that you're looking forward to seeing here in about 20 minutes?
Well, I didn't see any really, you know, especially the offense of the Broncos, because that's what I was paying most attention to yesterday. But I didn't see any runs really break out through the line. You know, it seemed very muddled in there. I think the defensive line of the Minnesota Vikings really took it to the offensive line yesterday. They put a lot of pressure in the dirt, and they plugged up those holes in the running game. Now, a lot of that was my vantage point. I'm field level, you know, so there's
right.
Like, sometimes it's a little tough to see what's going on there.
Right.
You didn't get to see the film. But that said, there weren't a lot of runs that broke out. You know, I want to see Melvin Gordon. I want to see Javonte Williams. I want to see those guys break out a long run, because we're going to need that running game. You guys know it's going to take pressure off of both of these quarterbacks, whoever it is that wins the job.
Nate, you've been doing a great job. Keep it up, and we will check in with you tomorrow, my friend.
All right. Hey, Stoke, I did some cardio this morning. I took your advice, man. I'm feeling a lot more calm, a lot more in shape, a lot more ready to tackle this.
I'm proud of you, buddy. I'm proud that you took my advice. Good job. You do sound much better, much more in shape. Good work, man.
Hey, how's that knee? How's that knee, Nate? You still ducking me or what?
No, it's kind of messed up, but I'm trying to get in shape, Zach, because I'm going to put it to you. We're going to play one-on-one, and I'm putting it down right here on live air that I'm going to take you. I'm going to beat you one-on-one to 7-1.
I absolutely
both
love it.
Both of y'all are old, out of shape, and injury-prone. I would say don't do it.
Hey, so it's like
yeah, that's true, too.
It's like those exhibitions. You got Roy Jones Jr. fighting us. That'll be me and Nate. Pay-per-view, 99 cents.
None of y'all are making money off of it.
See you, Nate.
All right, Nate, take care, buddy. Thanks.
All right, there he goes. Nate Jackson, live from Minnesota, doing a really good job for us. All right, we will hear from George Payton shortly. We're going to hear from Vic Fangio. We're going to hear from Drew Locke. We're going to hear from Teddy Bridgewater.
Love it.
All right, looking forward to it all. But first, we put that on the back burner because Hard Knocks debuted this week, and Stokes saw something from Dak Prescott
I saw a lot. It wasn't just this. I saw a lot that a lot of takeaways.
Hey, can I just get through the tease?
Yeah, but you just said one thing, but I just want the listeners to know it's more than one thing that I'm going to be talking about, okay?
It's all coming up next.
Bam.
It's Training Camp 50-50, Teddy versus Drew, powered by Twin Peaks. Here's Stokely and Zach.
I'm a bad
Hard Knocks. Pretty entertaining stuff, man. Dallas Cowboys. Now, I know everyone cannot watch Hard Knocks. Not everyone has HBO. I never had HBO until 3 years ago. So I get it. But the way that we're going to talk about it here, we're going to make it relatable to whether you saw it or not.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, I'm just watching the show, and all of a sudden I'm watching the show, and I'm watching guys out there, and I'm watching Dak Prescott, right? And I'm seeing how he's leading how he's leading that football team, how he's leading that offense, and realizing that's a big deal. And it's a big deal for the Broncos. So everything I'm seeing, Zach, out there, I'm trying to relate to the Denver Broncos and the Broncos situation, right? And where the Broncos are at right now. Obviously, they don't have a quarterback. We don't know who the quarterback's going to be. So there's no true leader there. And you see how Dak is just a leader of that football team, a leader of that offense, how he gets in the huddle, how he commands respect, how he gets guys going, right? And I just think about the Denver Broncos. I mean, like, do they have that guy? And I'm saying, no, I don't think they do. I don't think they do. And that's a big part of trying to build a winner and not having that leader. And just Dak took Ezekiel Elliott to the side, and they were talking about a pass pattern on a route, and said, you know, hey, if that thing opens up quick, look now, right? You don't have to dig and try to go deep. It doesn't need to be a 20-yard pass. They're talking about a little pick rub route. Sometimes it pops open early, and Dak's telling them, look, I'll give it to you early if it hits. So just look then, and don't just keep running down the football field. It says it's supposed to be completed 20 yards down the field, but it might be at 5 yards where you're wide open. Look, and I'm thinking about the Broncos again. Do they have that type of communication from their two quarterbacks who don't know who's going to be their starter with their running back or with their wide receiver? And I'm saying probably not. Probably not. And that hurts an offense because, you know, when that play comes up, 3rd-and-4, all of a sudden Dak throws it quick. Zeke's digging, running deep, thinking it's supposed to be 20 yards. Incompletion, 4th-down. That's what would happen with the Broncos.
Right.
Cowboys, they'll probably connect on it because they had that communication. They've been through it. They've done it. And they had that leader, you know, manning the ship in Dak. So that was one takeaway, one big takeaway there. Another takeaway, see, I told you I was going to give you more than one thing.
Yeah.
You know, that's what I deliver when I say it. You were trying to just make it look like it was like a little thing I was going to give the people. I'm giving them a lot here.
I mean, typically you want to make that tease as digestible as possible and singular. But that's
yeah, that's your style.
That's
my
like style
is a little bit different.
That's like the 400 class of radio.
Right. My style is like 1000s.
Like radio
class.
101.
1000.
Yeah.
Right. The calculus version of radio.
Yeah.
That's where I'm at, bro.
There you go.
I liked how Mike McCarthy did the mojo moment. You know what that's about? Obviously, it's about what he said. You know, all of a sudden momentum shifts and you gotta stop them or you gotta score, right? And he gives different situations called the mojo moment. He put up Austin Powers mojo and, you know, fun little, during the team meeting. And, mm-hmm. and you never know when it's coming up during practice, right? You don't know.
Right.
All of a sudden it's like mojo moment. Let's go. And then he gives the, hey, it's 1:20 left to go in the game. We're down by 6. We need a touchdown. We got no timeouts, right? Let's go. And, you're competing against the defense. I love that. Compete. But also it's. You know, guys get excited about it. Oh, the mojo moment. Let's go.
Right.
It's because it's out of the blue. They don't know. It's not scripted. So you bring some excitement to practice and it's competition. And when you have that, it's like, hey, who's going to win this mojo moment right here, guys? Right. There's a big point of emphasis on it. And I love that. It's a little bit different, a little bit unorthodox, but practices can be like May. And the Broncos have been May all training camp. Like add something to spice it up and get energy going. But also accomplish something.
You know, that it reminded me almost like of Pete Carroll-esque, that whole mojo moment thing. And I'd never seen a Pete Carroll practice, but it struck me as something that Pete Carroll would do. Like, let's spontaneous energy, make it about competition.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
And I'll tell you what, man. I walked away from that episode one of Hard Knocks pretty impressed with Mike McCarthy. Pretty impressed with Mike McCarthy. Him in front of the team.
Raise my hand.
Him in front of the team talking about raising the Lombardi Trophy, and that's what it's all about. It's not about making the Super Bowl. It's not about making the playoffs. And him drawing from his own experience saying, hey, that thing is heavier than you think. Yeah. You raised that. I mean, that was really good.
Yeah. No, I agree with you. He really came across good. I know my son said, because I was watching it with him, and he had watched it the night before also. But he had said a lot of people were giving Mike McCarthy a lot of pushback because he was asking Stephen Jones about, you know, Dak Prescott's, you know, his workload and stuff. Like, instead of telling him, like, this is what our plans are here, this is what. And I said, well, that's his boss.
Right.
That's his boss, buddy. You know, I mean, you're gonna talk things through with your boss, right? I know you're the head coach, but you still have bosses above you. And Stephen Jones is one of those guys, right? And so is Jerry. So you're gonna discuss those things. My only pushback was, I mean, why are they doing it like during training camp?
Right.
That should have been discussed before training camp. Hey, this is our plan for Zeke.
Great point.
We're gonna limit his. I mean, that ready to go. I mean, like, what are we doing, guys? We're day two or three of camp. We're talking about workload for Zeke. He's one of your best players. That should have been done weeks ago. But, you know, I just like to get ahead of things. I'm a planner. I'm an organizer, unlike, I guess, other people. So I don't know.
I didn't even really give that thought. But you're right.
Of course not. That's what I'm here for.
Can you?
That's what I'm here for.
Thanks, Brance.
Yes! We haven't heard that soundbite in a minute. Can you get that on the iPad, too, here? That was River Craycraft, training camp 2018.
That's what it was.
I'm wearing my training camp Chub throwback Mitchell and Ness.
Wow, Mitchell and Ness.
Big boss belt buckle under my Mitchell and Ness.
There you go.
Okay. Looking back to that training camp, River Craycraft, was it 2018
or 2019?
River Craycraft, I think, is still in the league, maybe with San Francisco.
He was last year. I don't know if he still is or not.
But he's a little slot receiver, you know, coach on the field.
Great teammate,
glue guy, locker room guy, you know, not fast, but quick, sneaky athlete.
Yeah.
You know, and he wants to be the next Brandon Stokely. And he came over to, that was when we were broadcasting live from training camp before the Broncos
banned us.
Banned everyone. Despite there are going to be 75,000 people in the stadium here in 4 weeks. But he came over, and he was nervous to meet you. He was nervous.
I had that effect on people, Zach.
Not
like you were,
really.
You know, for the first year we were together. You were really nervous.
You know, you want to know what's funny? We were moving stuff because we're getting the house painted.
Mm-hmm.
And I got this newspaper from back in my hometown of Albany. And I said, why do I have this paper? And I opened it, and it said, you know, by leaving Big Board for Denver. But Big Board Sports was the name of the show. Mm-hmm. And it has me, you know, quoted in there about leaving, you know, leaving behind some great things. Can't believe I'm going. And he asked me a question about you. And I said, I just can't believe for a guy who played 15 years in the league, just how kind and humble this guy is.
See, there you go.
And
I
just
make a
how
great first impression.
You do. And that quote did not age well. And how wrong I was about you.
Cream rises to the top.
Well, I'm the cream, Jack.
That's it, baby. That's it. Hey, but the other thing that I noticed, one more thing on this Hard Knocks,
yeah.
And then we'll wrap it up and put it away, is the energy that they did have on the football field. The energy from a guy like Micah Parsons takes one guy. He's a rookie, but he brought energy.
No
he
doubt.
Loved football. That stuff is contagious, right? And you saw it. You saw it during practice. You saw it during the game. It's like you need a few of those guys. And, you know, I know it's Kareem Jackson, but who else is out there bringing some type of energy?
That's like a soundtrack.
Yes. I mean, it that's what you have to have, not only during training camp, but during the season. A Wednesday practice, a Thursday, you know, I mean, those can be a grind. You just lost a couple games. Do you have somebody to bring some energy, enthusiasm, and to get you back on track and get things going back in the right direction, make you forget about the grind that you're going through? And I don't know besides Kareem if the Broncos have that guy. But I was looking at a rookie, Micah Parsons, as, you know, being that type of, you know, just energizer bunny. And he looked great, man. He did look great.
Man.
He looked great. I mean, he was sideline to sideline.
You saw him in the Hall of Fame game.
Yeah.
you know, out there making plays. And so the River Craycraft story, he came over and did an interview with us, and at the end of the interview was so starstruck from Brandon Stokely that he said this.
Thanks, Brands.
There he is.
Thanks, Brands.
Thanks, Brands.
It's all good.
Yes, it is. We root for that guy.
Yes, absolutely.
All right, week two on the Broncos schedule suddenly has a massive question mark to it. Take a dive into it next.
Miss any of Stokely and Zach? Make sure to subscribe to our on-demand podcast. You'll get every episode as soon as they're released. Just subscribe wherever you get your podcasts or at 104.3thefan.com.